Carson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And notice how the threat actually leads the news. When the threat of the five guys headed to Disney World or whatever, that actually leads the news. The retraction, of course, buried way in the back with the grocery ads. Way in the back with the guy selling the five-speed BMX. All right. Understand. I don't want to start off on a big down, though. Bring the roof down already. Hey, it's 2 minutes 42 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2003. Thanks for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, by the banks of the lovely, somewhat feces-infested Willamette River. We are here along with Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, Clyde Lewis, who is in for Sarah, who's in for Matt, who's...
I'm on time today.
I guess. Yeah, it almost...
Thanks the Lord.
Like 2 hours early today, which almost balances out. Like, it's almost a wash. If you show up early again on Friday, then we'll be okay.
I'll do that, for sure.
We'll all be balanced.
All right, coming up, right on my puppetry of the penis things. Did you put the penis puppetry back on my desk?
I did. I watched it, though. The Eiffel Tower one was quite impressive.
I don't want to know about... I don't know from Eiffel Tower.
You probably don't if I was the guy. That looked pretty painful.
Did it involve any stretching or bending?
It involves a lot of stretching in parts I didn't think could stretch that far.
It's like, did you ever see the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow?
No.
Dude, you got to see the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow. I can't believe you never saw that living in, well, you lived in Seattle for, well, I guess Pullman and Bremerton. But anyway, the Jim Rose Circus Sideshow is this guy, Mr. Lifto, puts these, this is absolutely true, I'm telling the following anecdote for journalistic purposes. This guy had pierced nipples. And so he would, you know, pierce the nipples. And so then he had these chains coming off of his nipples. And then he would swing these 10-pound blocks. And then later on, I swear to God, this is true. He put these hooks through his eyelids and was dangling like 5-pound weights off of his eyelids. It's the greatest slash worst thing you've ever seen in your life.
Well, at the Guar show, there are people hanging themselves from hooks from the ceiling. Their skin, it was awful.
The magic of Guar. Can I just tell you how bitter I am that this is stuff I didn't have when I was a kid? First of all, let's count the things that I didn't have when I was a kid that would have made my life better. I mean, in addition to clear skin and a normally sized nose, I didn't have the internet. I didn't have, I didn't have Britney Spears when I was a kid. I didn't have DVD porn when I was, I don't have DVD porn now, but I'm saying I didn't even have the availability of it. I didn't have a Guar. Can I tell you how great my childhood would have been in my adolescence if I'd had Guar? I think Guar actually existed when I was a teenager, but I didn't know from them because I was in Kennewick. I had nothing. Nothing is what I had. When I went to see Andrew W.K. the first time, when I went to see him at the Roseland, five, six, 7 months ago. I remember watching Andrew W.K. and I'm 29. I am nearly 30 years of age. I remember watching Andrew W.K. and just thinking that it was the best show I'd been to in years and years and years. And realizing at that point, if I had seen Andrew W.K., if I'd seen that show when I was about 15, I think the whole course of my life would have changed. I think the entire trajectory of my personal arc would have been altered because there came, I don't want to bog you down on the story of Rick, but there came this time when I was about 16 because I had just the most minuscule of musical talent, not unlike my radio abilities. But there came this time when you came to the fork in the road and it's like, do I want to be on the radio or do I want to do music? Because I was really into music. I was not that good at it, but not that good at this. And look at me now. Yeah. So, the hell was I saying? Oh, and so I came to this whole juncture in my life where it was like, do I want to rock as my business, or do I want to be on the radio? And I chose radio over music. But I think could I have been exposed to no rock at that point, live anyway. I mean, it was all on tape and whatnot. I didn't see a proper rock concert until I was 18. If I've been exposed to Andrew W.K. or Guar or anything like that live when I was a teenager, I might now, even now, I might be a golden rock god before you. Probably not. But, I mean, what are you going to do? All right, it's 503-250-1080. Speaking of rock, by the way, can I talk about some rock things? Coming up later on this hour, Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio with Grammy News. And all I heard this morning, I didn't even know what was going on with the Grammys. All I heard was the name Ashanti, like 75 times. It bodes poorly. So Gary Baumgarten, Buster Pack, is going to be with us later on. Hey, somebody sent me a list of the top 5 funniest diseases. We'll try to get to that. I had that story about Israeli Arab porn that I didn't get to yesterday. No, but it should be.
Yeah.
Later on today, top 5, that we have the top 5 rock and roll myths of all time. Top 5 rock and roll myths. Coming up later on today. Also, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Your phone calls. And both Schlemiel and Schlemazel. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Top of the news, forget about those five terrorists who came in from Canada. It never happened.
Nope.
It was a lie. To make you afraid, and it worked, didn't it?
You're the coolest.
Yeah. We'll try to have more lies for you on Friday when the government usually puts them out to ruin the weekend. Till then, take a rest for a few days. There is nobody to be afraid of. Nobody.
And that's the best part about it. It's not like they got the information kind of wrong. It's not like, you know, it's not a zero-sum game. I can understand that they put out a warning and it's 80% correct. They get three of the five guys, or the guys were really headed to some retirement center in Orlando. They weren't really, you know, they weren't headed to Disney World. But it was like never existed. It was just crap. It was all bupkis is what it was. There was nothing. It was just
be moving our way someday soon.
And the best part is, the best part about this entire story, apart from the fact that it was made up, is the fact that the nature in which they were fooled, which wouldn't have gotten by like a five-year-old. Because the way it is they busted a guy at the border for a fraudulent passport. And they busted him and they said, you there, Hector, get in the room. And they started beating the guy with a hose or whatever. And he said, no, it wasn't me, it was five other guys. Or what five other guys, Hector? Some dudes? Well, who was it? They were Middle Eastern. Yes, they rode camels. Did. They were on top of camels, and they...
I got the story wrong. They actually smoked camels.
Yeah, and he just made it up, which is, of course, exactly what do we all do when we get pulled over for speeding. You didn't pull over that guy up there that's going 140 miles an hour. You immediately manufacture some guy who's got co-eds chainsawed up in his trunk so that it makes it look so the cop didn't get the heat off you. That's exactly what this guy did. And, of course, what does the government do? Okay, we better go look for the five guys then. So, all right, anyway.
Anyway, we do have some legitimate news here. From Tillamook County comes word of Edward Morris flopping around in shackles going into the courtroom this morning and daring to criticize us in the media.
I wish the media was a better representation of the facts than it is.
Why, did we get the body count wrong?
I don't even know what that...
It was his wife and kid.
I couldn't even hear any of that. What was the actual quote? Can you play that? Can you play that again? Keep that last sound much. Play that one more, whatever... Edward Morse, whatever it was, just it was all just pounding.
No, he's clopping around in shackles
and echoing on this end.
I wish the media was a better representation of the facts than it is.
I wish the media was better representation of the facts.
Yeah, well, I wish Christians wouldn't go nuts and kill people all the time. But hey, it's an imperfect world. Chuckles. What are you going to do? Hey, did you see that the prison outfit they got him in? Did you see that he's got one of the black and white stripy, oh brother, where art thou?
Missed that. Not a bright orange jumper.
News. It was on the news last night. It is not, and we thought it was a gag. Lauren and I watching the news were all.
No, that was his wardrobe when he got arrested. That was a black and white striped shirt that he was wearing. He probably got
it's the pants too. No, but it's the pants too.
No,
he's
wearing
got
Levi's.
You expected him to have a big bag of money with a dollar sign on it. He was dressed in the black and white Keystone Cops prison getup, which I guess
Hamburglar.
Is what they have you do totally without the cape. I guess that's what they have. That's what they do in Baker City. So it's very wacky.
Well, the
kooky.
The Tillamook County judge orders Edward Morris to be held without bail.
We're going to set that then for January 24 at 11 a.m. And again, that would be for arraignment on the indictment if the grand jury returns a true bill. Meanwhile, Mr. Morrison would be held without bail.
That's the creepiest judge ever.
It is.
All right.
On the way out, Morris's court-appointed lawyer, Glenn Farber, gives a brief statement.
It leads me to believe that he wasn't anywhere you could see the news.
What, they don't have television in the Dalles? Of course they do. They have free TV.
That was actually his father saying his
magic fingers.
This is a first appearance on a district attorney's information, and that's all.
And what happens from here?
Well, the judge said that we'll be back, I think, on the 24th.
How's the client doing? Can you tell us?
I have no comments on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Then we have, let's go back and play Morris's father, Paul, who says his son couldn't have been any place where he could watch TV, therefore ignored his pleas to surrender.
It leads me to believe that he wasn't anywhere he could see the news.
Like, that matters.
Because it would have been hard for him, I believe, to hear my voice on two or three different occasions asking him to turn himself in and him not at least contact me. But he never did.
I understand this.
He was nowhere we could see TV. Had he been driving the Volvo that I have, It has 82 channels of TV and a DVD player. So not only could it be in the back, where you can sit in the back. And not only could he have played the DVDs he wanted, he would have seen his father's pleas and therefore turned himself in.
So the moral is, if you're going to hack up your family into little itty-bitty bits, allegedly, you should get a
Volvo. What? What is it?
Oh, I don't have the model number. But
well, it's a big, expensive 75th thing.
75th anniversary edition.
Yeah, so go pick up two of those while you're at it.
Only 50,000.
That really trumps my comedic observation that I was going to make. We went with joke number one there. See, here's the alternate joke. It's like on a CD when you get alternate takes. Did you ever buy like when Ryko Disc puts out like Elvis Costello Imperial Bedroom 20th Anniversary Remastered Edition, and you get like alternate takes or demo versions of the song. Like here's Good Vibrations alternate. You know, Brian Wilson home demo. Here's the alternate joke we would have gone with there. Play that live, the father. Do you have a sound clip of the dad again?
That would be Noon 3.
Yeah, Noon 3. Yeah. Play that, and we'll give you the alternate take on that last little bit on the Rick Emerson Show. Here it is.
It leads me to believe that he wasn't anywhere he could see the news.
He sounds like Lieberman.
Because it would have been hard for him, I believe, to hear my voice on two or three different occasions asking him to turn himself in and him not at least contact me. But he never did.
So the Super 8 probably doesn't have TV? Is that what we're to...
And so let me understand this, that he would have been driven by the moral imperative of his father on television, because the voice of his family obligation is so strong that he would have been driven to call his dad on 911, yet he apparently doesn't have any problem killing the rest of his family and dumping their bodies somewhere, allegedly. But of course, no, dad says to call home, you got to do it. See, that joke's not as funny as Tim's Volvo joke, which is why it's just the alternate there.
He's not a promise keeper, he's a promise breaker.
Oh, so what are you doing to me here? You're making all my material look shoddy today.
Huh?
I'm just going to turn the show over to you. I feel like that I was going to make a cultural illusion, but I've lost it. That guy in King of the Scorsese, the Jerry Lewis. Never mind. We'll just move forward. Anyway, so that has been an alternate take. We'll just go back to Tim now.
And that's the end of that story. That's
Tim's
the end of that story.
The genius in the room today.
Okay. Because of budget slashing, Multnomah County can no longer afford to keep criminals in jail. The county simply can't afford the entire seventh floor of the Justice Center, which has 160 beds intended for criminals. The system has, they have to turn them loose. These cuts will affect the entire criminal justice system. Chief Croker says he's never been in this budget bind before, which could force local courts to cut their options. Now, the courts at this point will be operating Monday through Thursday. There'll be no public operations in court on Friday starting the 1st of March. That means citizens will have no Friday court.
No.
They won't be able to pay parking tickets, access the file room, get restraining orders. 55 court employees will be laid off. And, let's see. Well, Chief Croker says, you know what that makes criminals think.
I commit this crime, I may not be caught. If I'm caught, I may not be put in jail. If I'm put in jail, I won't stay long. If I do stay for a while, I may not be prosecuted. If I'm prosecuted, I may not be convicted. If convicted, I will not do a lot of time. This is in the mind of a criminal.
Crime for everyone! Excellent.
Friday's crime day.
Seriously, let's all become criminals now. And we'll blame it on him because he's saying right here, he's laying it out for us. And it's not like they always keep the best hours anyway. Seriously, would it kill them? Would it kill them so much to have, to just bear some semblance of relation to the rest of the business world when it comes to the hours they keep? Has anybody, and this doesn't affect us as much as it affects, like some guy who works in a cubicle somewhere, because, we have pretty flexible hours here. But, have you ever had a 9-to-5 job and you have to pay a parking ticket, or you have to go to court, or you have to go down to, I don't know, get a restraining order or whatever, whatever it is, and you have to go down there and you have to deal with there, and it's they close. And if you notice this too, what is this with city and government offices closing at 4:30 someday? What is that about?
They want to avoid everybody at all costs.
Seriously, Selma and Patty are like buttoning up the DMV at 4:00 on a Thursday afternoon. What the hell is that all about? Now, when I'm king, we're going to start a new segment on the show one of these days. It's going to be called When I'm King. When I'm King, government offices got to stay up until like 6 p.m. And you ought to be able to pay parking tickets online, by the way. Am I the only one who agrees with this? And think of how much money that would save them.
I'm the laziest person. I have 2 parking tickets I still haven't paid just because I can't get stamps
and
you know.
And think about how much money that would save them.
Oh,
they wouldn't
so
have
much.
To have the office open. It's like, tell you a little example. I bought, we gave, long story, but we gave my TiVo to my mom. Our TiVo, because it's old and it was, getting, so we gave, for Christmas, we gave my TiVo to my mom. And so we had, you know, we got a TiVo for us to back. That was our Christmas. That was Laura and I's Christmas present to ourselves. That's one of the things you do when you're a couple. When you're a couple, you just become dull, by the way. And you no longer buy each other presents. You buy a family present. Now, the family's just us and the hedgehog. But, I mean, we bought ourselves a couple for us as a couple, you know, a present. So we go out and we buy the one present for us for Christmas, which is the new TiVo. So I set it up and you got to activate it. And you activate it on, it's so great, the TiVo, you activate it online. You go to TiVo.com, click activate, put in your little code, put in your purse, you know, your name or your whatever, your email address, click, TiVo works. It's totally activated. They don't have to pay. All they have to do is have the computer sitting there running. They have to pay somebody to be a telephone operator. They have to pay somebody to come to your house to turn it on, not like the goddamn cable company. All you have to do is go to the website, plug it in, turn it on, you're good to go. That's how the court system should operate. You go... I mean, your driver's license is good enough to ticket you. Your driver's license identification should be good enough to pay the ticket.
I got my third divorce by ATM.
Really?
Yep.
See, where was it? What state?
Utah.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about.
I put $10 in an ATM. It spit out the papers. I filled them out, and then I did a filing fee of $75 I did by ATM.
How can we live in a world where Utah is more advanced than we are? I mean, what shame that should fill us with. But you ought to be able to go online, put in your name, put in the identification number off your driver's license, put in your credit card number, and pay your tickets online. Which bugs me. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, despite this ailing local economy, going to the zoo is as popular as ever. At the Oregon Zoo jumped by more than 200,000 visitors, apparently from all these prisoners they let loose. The zoo director says special programs and events like Christmas time, zoo lights, and packing the elephant's birthday are keeping interest at an all-time high. This year, the zoo will bring back the very popular butterfly exhibit. The Oregon Zoo has welcomed over a million visitors in 11 of its last 14 years.
I think speak for everyone, I say that zoos are retarded.
I tell you, in the springtime when we were kids, we used to always go to the zoo because that's when, you know, the animals are...
Humping?
Are humping. And we all went when we were kids just to giggle. We thought it was the funniest thing. Look what they're doing. They're having sex.
So great to be a man. Being a man isn't at all embarrassing, is it? Yeah, let's go watch the primate cage. They're humping.
Like 13, 14, we would get on the bus just to go watch the elephants.
Seriously, the zoo, I oversaid. The zoo isn't retarded as such, but the zoo is one of those things. The zoo is like the Blair Witch Project. You know, it's just good the first time, and then after that, the rewatch value of that is nil. Unless they have some special exhibit or they're feeding the Gila monster or something.
Seals are always fun. Go watch the seals.
The seals are okay.
But isn't there like a blind seal or something at the zoo now? Some sort of...
There's like a partial clubbing job.
A handicapped seal or something.
A handicapped seal. Is there anything sadder than handicapped seal?
Deaf seal. He's a deaf seal.
What do you have to hear when you're a seal?
All they do is balance a beach ball on their nose.
You're not good at playing horns or anything.
I wonder if it comes out as... I wonder if deaf seals are... You know, throw somebody the seal. I'm just... All right.
It's so bad.
Is that the end of the zoo story?
Yes, it is.
All right.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. Well, okay. Coming up later on, Gary Baumgarten from CNM Radio about the Grammys, top five rock and roll myths of all time. Also, Jolie from the front desk, news at Ground Zero and all that. Here's Apollo 440. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
You guys are all evil.
No, but I mean, you know, deaf people, it's the one group we can safely make fun of, I think. And I think we all
can't hear you, right?
Yeah, what are they going to do? I mean, it's all hearsay anyway, if they, well, so to speak. All right, here's Sarah Dillon with traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio coming up. Also, the top five rock and roll myths of all time. Jolie from the front desk, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Is this? Who's this on 6-1?
It's Matt.
Matthew Peterson. Matt Peterson, what's up, man?
Hey, not much. How you doing?
Where are you at right now? Let me guess, golf course.
No, actually, not golfing today. Oh. We just left Gatorland.
Gatorland or Skaterland?
Gator, as in like the big lizard.
And so what is it? Like a truck stop. What's going? What's it? Gatorland, as if
it
I did.
It really did kind of start as a roadside attraction back in the 40s, but now it's a 110 acre amusement park, basically all about gators.
Dude, there's 5,000
gators in the 110 acres.
What is it with southern people and weird, freaky animals and amusement parks, man? Dolly World and gate, everything turns into an amusement park in the South.
It's all. There's a little train ride you can take, and we ate gator ribs and gator nuggets and the whole thing.
Gator's pretty good. I've had gator before.
You feel bad going to see a bunch of alligators and then going to eat them, like, next door?
No, not at all, really.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I had we were at a place called Sweetwater's Jam House. Last year, Laura and I went with some friends. We had some alligator, which is actually not bad.
Really, it was pretty good.
Tasted like frog a lot. Tasted like frog legs, or the last time I had frog legs, anyway. So how many rounds have you not gotten any golf in now? I thought this was your whole point in going down there.
No, we've got a couple in already. Couple rounds.
Yeah, okay. So as long as life is coming together for you, that's what's important to me, is that your life continues to go well.
It's a high-stress life down here right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. What's the weather? Is it still unexpectedly cold down there, or is it warming up?
Yeah, it's unexpectedly cold. It's only about 66, 67.
Oh, man, you're such a weasel.
But it's nice and sunny, so it's making up for it.
So that's just like clear blue skies, probably. Are you spending any time on the ocean? You going on a boat or something?
No, we haven't yet. Tomorrow we're actually going up to St. Augustine, which is the oldest continuous city in the United States. And then there's also the World Golf Village and World Golf Hall of Fame up there. So
seriously, I want to do like a Freaky Friday thing one of these days. You and I ought to just change families for like just 1 year. Just do the 1 year of my life. I want to live in a family whose existence doesn't revolve around like Hickory Farm snack packs and the Grand Ole Opry.
Well, we kind of did change families today. I went to Gatorland.
Oh, shut up. It's Matthew Peterson in Florida. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. All right. Oh, by the way, I got an F Matt story here. Rick, yesterday was a rough day for me. I had to deal with a coworker who, to put it mildly, is an idiot. I spent 20 minutes on the phone with him in a call that should have taken 5 minutes. I wanted to tell the jerk to F off, but I didn't think that was appropriate. Some other stuff happened as well, but I won't bore you with that. Anyway, I went out for a beer with a friend when I got home to relax. I was telling my friend about my bad day. A guy sitting next to us, who I did not know, said, "Hey, in the future, don't use the F word. Just say F Matt with some weird object. That'll make you feel better." So, can you F Matt with a loaded TriMet train going 45 miles an hour?
This F Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
Even the guy makes money when he's not here. It's Melissa. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Barbara Portland TV anchor Shirley Hancock is suing CBS affiliate Coin, claiming management did not renew her contract because of her age. Her lawsuit alleges management discriminated against her by refusing to pay her as much as her coworkers, who are all guys.
It seems a little hypocritical to get a job that is fundamentally based on the way you look anyway, and then to carp when they give it to somebody who's younger or better looking. If your job is based on your physical appearance, then when your physical appearance starts to go downhill, then you get the sack. That's just the way
it
goes.
The Max train.
That's exactly what it is. It's like it's unfair. Well, it's completely fair.
She worked here for 18 years, so that's not bad for anybody.
No, especially, in the entertainment industry, you got one gig for 18 years. Count your blessings, sister.
So they get taken over by another company, MS Communications, which doesn't do much in TV, and they fire 20 to 30 people.
All right, anyway. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley.
A D.C. high school student has been charged with attempted murder and other crimes after allegedly slipping a dose of potassium cyanide into another teenager's vanilla Coke. He's 18-year-old Ryan Furlow, a senior at this high school, being held without bail and accused of trying to poison a classmate and a friend. He ordered the poison over the Internet using his mother's credit card.
What?
He ordered the poison over the Internet using his mother's credit card.
From where? Where on the Internet can you order cyanide? Can you imagine? This is back. This is like the Britney Spears and the Guar. Can you imagine how much damage I would have done as a teenager if I could have just bought me some strychnine or some cyanide over the internet? God, man, I missed out on all the cool stuff.
So that's that.
What was that? So, but okay. So this is Matt in the tradition of Matt screwing me. So was Jerry
Matt blocked
Gary,
the line.
Jerry was trying to call. Yes.
So Baumgartner was trying to call at the same time Matt was on exactly the same line.
Yeah, I guess he tried calling three times.
CNN basically told me, they said, you know, Matt, you're on vacation. Back off, man.
Basically
what they said.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that. All right. So if we don't. So we're probably screwed on Baumgarten for today, because he hates us.
I don't know. She's trying to get him, but apparently, you know, the whole thing was that Matt was on the phone and basically...
No, that's my mistake. So Matt just shafted us out of our CNN guest for today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks, Matt. Way to go. Appreciate that. Way to take one for the team, Matthew.
Weasel.
I know. I'll pick exactly the same time that Gary... I'll pick the same line that Gary Baumgarten...
When he knows that the news people are calling in.
Well, I didn't even look at what phone line he was on. People will know we got... We get all these different phone lines, and they all have different, I mean, one rolls to another, like if line 5 is busy, it goes to line 6 and blah, blah, blah. But we get all these different phone lines, and some of them are, we have different numbers. We specifically give them to like a CNN guest or somebody so they can get through, so it's a line that's always free. So Matt, of all people, should know what phone line not to busy up with his inane prattling about gator farms.
Fortunately, I think we do have Gary.
Jesus, God in heaven. Just surrounded by puny brains. All right, is this Gary Baumgarten?
Clyde's still chatting.
I'm chatting right now.
All right.
He's just on now, and
I feel like,
you know, and I'll tell you what, they're saying that Matt
shamed.
Is going to have to pay and get gifts for everybody at CNN. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah. All right, let's welcome to the show CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Gary,
what I just heard you say.
I'm going to have Matt's legs cut off. I'm going to have him shoved out to sea on a piece of plywood.
Well, I mean, the part about gifts, that sounded very nice.
Well,
thank you.
Of all people, Matt should have known better because he's the producer, so he's calling from Florida. This, I swear to God, this is the truth. This is why you couldn't get through on the phone line. Because Matt Peterson, our executive producer, was calling from vacation to tell us that he was at a theme park based around alligators.
Okay, that's exciting.
That was the important, not at all hick-like information that he was sharing with us today. So. All right, anyway.
Well, how can I follow that up? I mean, that is such a lead-in that it's, I mean, anything that I have to say is going to just pale in comparison.
Yeah. Well, as long as you just don't belch loudly and often, you're going to be 1,000 over than that. Hey, so the Grammy nominations were announced today, and that was, I'm retarded, I guess. I thought the Grammys were in Los Angeles. I thought that's where they always did this, or does it alternate?
Well, they used to alternate. And then what happened was 4 years ago, there was a little tiff or rift between then Mayor Rudy Giuliani and the head of the Grammys. And the Grammys said, that's it. We're taking our marbles and we're going to L.A. and we're never coming back. Well, now we have a new mayor in New York City, and he was able to woo them back to the city, which is very good for New York on a number of accounts, obviously. The economy here is really hurting as a result of the 9/11 attacks, and they say that the Grammys are going to pull in $40 million into the economy, so that's all to the good.
And it's amazing that so much money can be drawn into one city by dint of so much music that is so bad.
Well, there's bad music, but there's good music, and some of the stuff that's been nominated is pretty good stuff. I mean, the Bruce Springsteen album is just phenomenal, and of course, that's another thing that's kind of symbolic, because it came, that was inspired by the ashes of 9/11, the World Trade Center and all. There's some good music out there. I guess, you know, it's in the eye or the ear of the beholder. I've become a lot more eclectic in my... in my taste, because I have two teenagers who ride in the car, and I certainly can't listen to what I really want to listen to, talk or news radio, when they're in the car, so I'm stuck with listening to their kind of music, and some of it grates at me, but some of it actually is pretty interesting.
I'm trying to picture you in your lowrider bumping along to Nelly.
Well, to tell you the truth, it's not a lowrider, but it's got a kick sound system, and the kids love it.
Excellent. So I guess the big nominees, what is Eminem the most nominated this year?
No, there are like five or six of them that got five nominations. Eminem is one of them. Bruce Springsteen is another. And that's kind of interesting, too, that there were so many who got so many, and that it was spread out kind of along the different genres, which, of course, is what they want to do. They want to promote all different types of music. What's real interesting is a lot of people don't quite realize this, but the majority of the awards are never televised. It's just the... more popular awards,
right.
And then they toss in a couple others, you know, like some gospel or something, you know, to make it look like they're giving homage to all the other types of music. But actually, at 4:30 Eastern time, the awards begin, and that's the bulk of the ceremony at from 4:30. And the TV cast doesn't begin until 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Well, and you always wonder about those guys who have been nominated for, like, Best Sound Engineering on a polka recording. And it's,
well, yeah, that really, you know, very few people really care about. That's
they're
true.
Telling their families to tune in and watch it, and it's like a two-second blurb as they go into a Scope commercial.
Right. Well, what they usually do is they kind of freeze frame on that. I guess part of it also, I don't know about this year, they didn't say, but I think in previous years, the hour before the CBS telecast, I think they used to do something on public television as well, so, you know, to try to broaden the scope a little bit. But, you know, it's a very commercial industry, very obviously, and it's going to be the headliners that they gain the attention.
When is the actual ceremony?
You would have to ask that. 27th, 28th?
23rd.
The Sunday.
23rd.
The 27th, I believe. 20th. February, yeah.
Okay.
I better get it right because I have to be there to cover it. You know,
are you
the date right.
Are you a seat filler? Or do you have to sit? Is there some bullpen where they just shove all the press guys
they in? Put you in backstage, but they take pretty good care of you.
Do you even get a craft services table?
What type of
food? Do you get like food?
Yeah, they've got munchies there and stuff.
Excellent.
They feed you.
Excellent.
I don't think it's quite as good as covering the NFL.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
All right, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Thank you, man. All right, there you go. Matt's intrusions notwithstanding. All right.
He's going to be there on the wrong day. It's the 23rd.
I know. I didn't want to tell him. He's going to be there.
Oh, the food's going to be gone.
He is the professional.
It's like when you think the dance is Hawaiian and it's really formal. You know, you show up and hi.
He'll be there at the catering table eating nothing but peanut butter and leftover
coffee. Nothing but
coffee.
A bowl of crumbs completely.
And moldy oranges.
So. All right. We got more on the way, including we'll have Grammy news. Some more of that. We'll have some Grammy sound clips and whatnot. But we haven't talked about Joe Millionaire yet, by the way. We got to talk about Joe Millionaire. What else? We got top five rock and roll myths of all time coming up. Also, Jolie from the front desk. Later on, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. And your phone calls. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. Stay there. We'll be back after this.
KOTK.
Do you ever wonder if somebody really did call Gene Simmons Dr. Love? And if he'd like wrote it down, like if he's, I don't know, gross yet, but you just picture him like with the girl, you know?
Oh, you're picturing
then,
him with the girl.
You picture Gene Simmons, he's getting his, you know, getting his rock and roll groove on with the girl, and the girl just, oh, Dr. Love, and you picture him, stop, don't move, and just leaning, like reaching for the legal pad.
I just saw Tongue Magazine today, by the way. They had it at the 7-Eleven up the street.
I've never actually read it. It seemed really expensive.
Pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big...
It's so wrong.
There is nothing more expensive than magazines. Can I tell you that? Magazines, like, per pound are more expensive than lobster. It's just unbelievable how expensive magazines are.
You kind of drifted off my point, but in the past couple days, you've talked about other people's lovemaking more than I'd ever care to hear about.
Well, what am I going to do and talk about, you know? No, women can't get enough of me, asshole. No,
I'm Dr. Love.
Yeah, that's clearly not true. So, all right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, and plus, this whole Gabe thing has just become this whole saga now. I've got all this email about the Gabe and the threesome this weekend. Didn't it? Pam Anderson versus Selma Hayek. It's all very confusing.
Curious minds want
to
know.
I'm telling you. So we'll try to
And we haven't got the pictures yet. So anyway, we'll try to get to that later. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's Tim Riley in the KFTK newsroom.
So here we go. The nominations for the Grammy Awards, which will be held February 23rd at Madison Square Garden, which Gary Baumgarten will miss. So Justin Timberlake announces the nominations for Album of the Year.
Home by the Dixie Chicks. The Eminem Show by Eminem. Come Away With Me by Norah Jones. Nellyville by Nelly. And The Rising by Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
And it says here he and Alyssa Milano have split.
Well, of course. Well, I mean,
but they're still pals.
Yeah, sure they are. First of all, no one's still pals when they split. Especially like high profile celebrity people like that. And plus, that's because, like, I mean, look at it from Justin Timberlake's point of view. You're Justin Timberlake. You could bang any woman on, literally any woman and probably her sisters on planet Earth that you want to. And so it's like, clearly we all know. It's like, how long do you think I date Tina Yathers before I just, you know, you just do it because it's a childhood crush and you just got to get it taken care of. You know, it's like an itch you just got
to
scratch.
I've heard some rumors about him not being able to, that he's gay.
That he can't perform like a man? Oh, that he's gay?
Yeah, I've heard rumors that he's
gay. No.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake, yeah. I have heard.
Well, that would explain why Elton John picked him for that video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I don't know. That just seems... No, because... No, that doesn't make any sense. Because he's... I don't know. I get no vibe.
Look, I was looking at old George Michael videos. The guy, father figure. He's making out with a model.
Well, but we all knew George... Okay, but no. But I knew George Michael was gay. We all knew George Michael was gay. Hello, listen to this. Whatever that song, that Wake Me Up Before You, blah, blah, and then my day, you make the sunshine brighter than Doris Day. He's gay. Listen to that. You make the sunshine brighter than Doris Day.
Hey, my old girlfriend and I watched Pillow Talk one day. Does that make me gay?
You've been watching it with your girlfriend. I've seen, it's like I have to watch The Pajama Game every 6 months with Lara because it's like her favorite movie. Let's watch The Pajama Game. And so, as a result, I know, can I just tell you, it's stunning to me, the number of bad show tunes that I now know as a result of being with Lara. Because 7.5 cents doesn't mean a heck of a lot. 7.5, it's like, why do I even know that?
So, have you seen Moulin Rouge yet?
No,
they've been trying to get me to see Moulin Rouge, and now I'm being told, hey, let's go see Chicago.
No, that's what, I got this call the other, she was at work, she called me the other day. What do you want to go see? Do you want to go see 2 Week Notice with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock, or Chicago? Me. I'm sick. I can't leave the house. I can't go see either. Anyway, I'm saying we all knew George Michael was gay from like way back, or bi or whatever. I mean, it's none of my business, but I mean, we all knew that from way back, though, because he's like, there's that in his video for the same song, in that video for Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, he's smacking Andrew Ridgely's ass at one point. Seriously, because he's crouched down and he's singing. Andrew Ridgely has that fake ass acoustic guitar in front of him. And then George Michael pushes him out of the way, like, by the ass. Pushes him out of the way, hands on buttocks. And then, like, does this sort of gay laugh, like, you know? And it's like, look, I don't care that he's gay. Be gay, be bi, be straight, whatever. It's a free country. I'm just saying, I knew from day one that he was. Justin Timberlake, that doesn't make any sense. No, I don't buy that. That doesn't seem right to me.
I guess it's because I just saw Jay and Silent Bob again. There's a lot of gay jokes in that movie.
Well, that's Kevin Smith, though. That's his whole raison d'etre, his gay jokes.
Nelly announces the nominations for Best New Artist.
Ashanti, Michelle Brandt, Norah Jones, Avril Lavigne, and John Mayer.
All right. Jimmy Jam announces the nominations for Record of the Year.
1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. Without Me, Eminem. Don't Know Why, Norah Jones. Dilemma, Nelly, featuring Kelly Rowland. And How You Remind Me by Nickelback.
I hate that Nickelback song. I hate that Nickelback song with everything in me. You know, it's so bad. It's just so bad and bland and repetitive. I'd rather have anything on that list win as long as it's not Nickelback.
When Nelly sings, doesn't she always look like she has a sour look on her face? I always know
Nelly?
That. Yeah, when Nelly, yeah.
Nelly the guy?
Nelly the guy. Does he look like he has a sour...
Well, he's, you know, he's trying to be hard. You know, he's a hip-hopper. He's got to represent.
I don't know. It's all manufactured to me. It looks all manufactured to me.
Well, it's pop music, man.
Yeah, whatever.
Pop music. That's what it is.
Kenny Chesney announces the nominations for Best Song of the Year.
Complicated by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
Don't Know Why by Norah Jones.
Yeah.
The Rising by Bruce Springsteen.
That's a great song.
1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. And Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning by Alan Jackson.
See, I'd feel okay if that Alan Jackson song won, even though it seems like it's been out for about 40 years. I'd be okay with that winning. Or the Rising. And we just played that constantly when that single came out. The Rising by Bruce Springsteen. Not the whole album, although the album is good. That single, The Rising, is so good. It's so good. It's the best thing that Springsteen has put out since. God, I can't remember when. I mean, can't remember the last Springsteen song that I liked as much as The Rising. Just a great, great, great song.
A happy young couple, Sarah and Tom, Brittany Murphy and Ashton Kutcher, married against the wishes of Sarah's friends, and they're in a movie called Just Married.
Oh.
Ashton can't say enough wonderful things about his co-star, and she agrees.
Some people love their job.
Okay, I think we have no time for this now at this juncture anyway. Okay, well, let's do this on the other side. Well, we'll do the Brittany Murphy stuff, because I want to hear that, but we'll do it on the other side. Let me just say real quickly, though, here are the nominees for, let's see, where are the nominees for Hard Rock? All My Life, Foo Fighters, I Stand Alone by Godsmack. That's a good song. Youth of the Nation by POD is a great song, but it's the kind of song that's going to embarrass us in about 10 years. POD, Youth of the Nation, is one of those songs that we're going to look back on in about 10 or 15 years, and we're going to be embarrassed because it's so ham-handed and just... And it's got a children's chorus on it, which is always bad. No One Knows, Queen of the Stone Age, Aerial, System of a Down. Metal is Korn, POD, Slipknot, Stone Sour, Rob Zombie. At what point did Rob Zombie just start replicating his first solo album over and over again? Have you noticed that Rob Zombie had that one great solo album at him, and then everything has just been that recreated over and over?
But he's in every movie. You can't beat it.
House of a Thousand Corpses is finally coming out, by the way, speaking of Rob Zombie.
When?
I just read this yesterday. House of a Thousand Corpses, I think, is coming out in either May, or rather March or April. I don't know if it's been edited down because they were talking NC-17.
I've already seen it, by the way.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
You're such a dick. Why don't you give a brother the hookup on that?
Because my friends won't let me have a copy of the tape because they're afraid that I'm going to show it at the bar.
You guys,
they don't
are,
want me to.
You guys are dicks. All right, we'll be back. It's Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk and Eddie KFDK.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.